is possible in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Do this at the same time. Ushers, maybe you can wait for just a minute while we pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We just lift our hearts up to you and our hands, Lord, even with the word of God in our hand. We pray that this is going to get into our hearts tonight. Now anoint me and use me as your vessel, as you minister to us under your anointing. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your healing. We thank you for your love. We thank you, O God, for testimonies of healing and things that you've done, and for this van that you've provided for this ministry, that the Vini started by faith and obedience with nothing. We thank you, Lord, that's who you are. As we move into your will, you bless us, and you provide for everything we need as we surrender our lives to you. Tonight we surrender to you as you minister your word to our hearts. Now anoint me as your vessel, and anoint us, Lord, as we receive this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to open, if you would, to the book of Romans. And we're going to look at the end of chapter 3. That's where we left off last time. And it says, I'm going to start in verse 29, if you want to look there, in chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish the law. So we see in verse 29, he's the God of the Jews, but he's also the God of the Gentiles, and that both of them are justified by faith, that it's not by the law. So these Jews want to know, well, how's that work? You know, because they boasted about the law. That's what they were all about. But it was Jesus that came and fulfilled the law for us. And that God knew that I could never fulfill the law. We break the law, you know, the laws of God every day in different ways in our hearts and in our lives. And there's not a man on the earth that can follow the law of God. So all have sinned and fallen short. There isn't anyone that has not transgressed the law. But it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, so that he would be one of us, a man, made of flesh, made under the law. That means to follow the law, and to redeem them that were under the law. So he fulfilled the law. He never broke the law. Jesus never broke the law one time to redeem, to pay the price, so that he qualified as the perfect sacrifice without a blemish. He never sinned. The Lamb of God, without one sin in his life, never broke God's law in any way, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb without a blemish, to redeem us that were under the law, that could never keep the law. So he fulfilled the law for me. I don't have to fulfill the law. Jesus did it for me. My life is Christ now. I stand in his righteousness. I'm justified by faith, not by my good works. And I want us to understand that tonight. Jesus paid in full the price for righteousness through his righteous life. And it's not a changed life, it's an exchanged life. I've exchanged my life for Christ. Tonight in this baptismal tank, that's what they were saying. We've died with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been buried with him. We're dead, and now it's Christ who lives in us. And we've been raised from the dead, and we stand in his righteousness new. My old life has passed away. Any man that's in Christ becomes a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Can you say amen? New. And there's nothing that follows you through the grave if you're dead. You know, you're dead. And so we entered into Christ. We entered into his death. And we've been set free. And that we are free from the law. It says, therefore we conclude that a man's justified by faith, you see, without the deeds of the law, it tells us. And then it says, do we then make void the law through faith? The book of Romans says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth Neither hath thou not committed adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So this is something that's not an outward, external thing to follow the law, but now the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you love someone, you're going to fulfill the law in their life. If you love someone with the love of God, you're not going to covet what they have. You're not going to bear false witness. You're not going to commit adultery with their wife. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie about them. If you love somebody, you're going to demonstrate the law. The law is fulfilled by love. The whole basis of it is by the Spirit of God and the love of God in our hearts. Can you say amen? And so that we do fulfill the law. I mean, that's what it said. We just said Sunday night, we talked about it. You know, when he says, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. When you love the Lord, when you love your neighbor, you're going to fulfill the law. It's not all the empty rules that they added to it and the threads that you couldn't mix together and you couldn't walk so far and couldn't eat this food or that food. You know, we've been set free from those things. We've been set free from the externals. God's going after the internal in our heart. He gives us a new heart that we'd follow after him and walk by the Spirit of God and fulfill the law in our lives. Not a written law, but the law that he writes in our hearts. Can you say amen to that? Now tonight, I want us to understand in chapter 4, you know, justification apart from the law. And we're going to look at Abraham. That's what it's talking about. And so here's these Jews. You know, these Jews are in Rome. He's writing to them. He's getting acquainted with these Jewish believers in Rome. But they want to know, you know, well, so what's this all about with Jesus? You know, if we're justified by faith, then, you know, well, we're Jews. You know, that's been our tradition. You know, what about Abraham? What about the law that was given to Moses? You know, how does that fit into this doctrine, into the resurrected Christ? You know, what do we do? How does that work? And so here Apostle Paul uses Abraham as an example. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, so we see that he was justified by faith, not by works. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham were justified by works, then he hasn't have anything to glory about. But not before God, he can't glory. For what's the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It says, our father Abraham. Look, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father? So to the Jews, there was a physical descent. He was their father. But what the scripture is talking about, you can have a physical descent from Abraham and not be Abraham's children at all. It's just a physical union. You know, I mean, look today. There are Jews that are born because they have Jewish parentage. I mean, they don't even follow the Jewish faith. You know, they don't even do what Jews are supposed to do. And so you say, well, they're Jews. That doesn't mean that they're a believer. Right? I mean, anything. You can be a Presbyterian and not a believer. You can be a Catholic and not be a believer. You can come to Countryside Christian Center and not be a believer. Just where you go, or even you can be Italian. That doesn't mean you're a believer. Did I push your button? I mean, you know, same with Welshmen, you know. Whatever it is. Just the nationality doesn't make anything. And so what he's saying, that here he's talking about the father of them believe. Abraham is the father of them believe. He's the father of those that had faith. And so it says that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now this is a... If we remember in Genesis chapter 14 and 15... that he got word that Lot and his family were taken captive when kings came through Sodom and they defeated them there. And then they got word, and Abraham with the servants and went after them. And at that time he overcame those kings, and he brought back Lot and he brought back his belongings. And then the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord said that he was his shield and his exceeding great reward. And that what Abraham wanted most was a son. And as he dialogued with God, he said, you know, I've got a servant now that is my heir, but, you know, God, you know, I want a son. And the Lord says, that's not your heir. I'm going to give you a son. And it says that he believed God. It was then that God told him to look to the stars, so shall your seed or your descendants be. That it would be like the stars of heaven. And it says, and God, he believed God. And then it was this faith. He believed God that was counted to him for righteousness. Now, there was no good works. It's because he believed what God said. God says, you're righteous. It's not that his behavior was righteous, but he was pronounced righteous because of faith. Not because he followed any laws, but because he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, the word that's used and counted here in the New Testament means to put on one's account. It's an accounting term. It's a banking term. Sometimes it's translated reckoned. It's reckoned, you know, that you reconcile a checkbook. You know, that's a banking statement. Or imputed. You know, it was given. And so, you know, when a man works, he earns money and then he puts it in his account. But Abraham didn't work for righteousness. He simply trusted God's word, and righteousness was put on his account. It was accounted to him for righteousness. It was just put on his account. He didn't do anything at all. Wouldn't it be great to have a bank like that? You know, they just put it in your account without any work, you know. But that's what God did. So it's all by grace. So let's read, you know, these verses. So as we read this, it's saying, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, for faith is counted, his faith is counted for righteousness. So he says that God justifies the ungodly. Man, I qualified. How about you? I qualified. God, I'm unrighteous. But, I mean, I heard about Jesus when I was at church as a kid, but I just, it was a story. It was something, you know, that was, you know, almost like next to a myth to me. It was just the Jesus of history. I didn't know he was really alive. I mean, that he was there, that he loved me, that he, and if he was alive, he was somewhere distant, you know. I didn't realize that he wanted to come into my life. And here I am in unrighteousness, and when I believed in Jesus, it was counted to me for righteousness. Because we're saved by faith, by trusting in him, that he paid the price for my sins. That he paid for my bankruptcy. He paid for my debt of sin. And that he filled my account with what it took to pay the debt. Righteousness before God. And he pronounced me righteous. And so that he says he justifies those that are unrighteous. And then he uses David as an example. So he's showing these Jews that Abraham was it was counted to him that he was righteous. And it didn't have anything to do with him following a law. And then he says the same thing with David. This is, you know, after David's terrible sins here. You know, it says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works in verse 6. So this was after the sin with Bathsheba. Not only did he commit adultery, but he set her husband up so that his sin would be covered because she was with child and he had the man murdered. He didn't pull the trigger, but man, he's the one who set him up to be murdered. Put him in the front lines in the heat of the battle and said, you pull back from him, and he'd set him up that he would die. And then his sin was found out, and he cried out to God and asked for grace and asked for forgiveness. And it says in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, David's praying, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And whose spirit there is no guile. It's amazing God forgives sins and imputes righteousness apart from works, as he did to David. And that the Lord does not impute our sins on our record. So our record now contains Christ's righteous record and can never contain our sins again. Are you getting this? That we start thinking it's all about us and our good works before God. That, oh, I've got to please God. He's mad at me. He took out his anger on Jesus, not you. Before Jesus even got on the cross, as we know, he was beaten so that they couldn't even recognize him, it tells us in Isaiah. He took the punishment for our failures, for our sins, for our transgressions, and that he never sinned, and he paid in full, one who never sinned. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's worth a praise offering. Come on. And so, yes, we do sin from day to day, and that the Lord covers us, that the blood of Jesus continues. Says, if we say that we have no sin, we're lying. But if we ask God to cleanse us of our sins and our unrighteousness, he washes away, he cleanses us on a daily basis from all our sins. The blood ever working to forgive me, cleanse me. Every day, I take a spiritual bath. God, forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. My actions, my thoughts, my motives, everything. Forgive me and cleanse me. And that I know that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sins. It doesn't have anything to do with my work. It's faith that justifies me before God. He said that it's mine. I believe God. It is mine and I receive it. And I know that it's true because God's word says it's true. And God counts it to me in righteousness and sees me as clean and forgiven on a daily basis. Can you say amen? It's about faith. That doesn't mean we don't live for God. We do that in thanksgiving. We're going to talk about that as we get into the second part of Romans. So the next thing I want us to look at is, if we start in verse 9, it says, come this blessedness then upon the circumcision only. It's talking about grace here. It's talking about grace. We've already seen that word as we read these verses before, that it's about God's grace. That Abraham was justified by grace, not by law. So God justifies the ungodly. He believed God. It was counted him righteousness. He was justified by faith, not of works. But also, he was justified by grace, not by the law. And look over in verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the end of the promise might be sure. And so that Abraham, it was God's grace. It wasn't him following the law. And then it starts. Look, follow along with me. Romans is simple, but it's kind of complicated when you read it, you know, because of the way it's worded. It says, comes this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So we know what circumcision is. Circumcision, you know, was what was given to the Jews as a sign that they belonged to God, and that it was a mark upon their flesh to show that they belonged to God, that they'd entered into that covenant. It had to do with a cutting. It had to do with the shedding of blood, and that it was to be a mark. And so that was the seal, that was the sign to that he was a Jew. But what happened is the Jews were looking on just the outward and not on their heart. That had to be circumcised. So if they just followed some outward observance, somehow, you know, they were righteous. And so it says, you know, so then does this blessing just come on the circumcision or on the uncircumcision? That's a Gentile. And says, or we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Verse 10, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. So, 400 years before the law ever showed up. Abraham wasn't under the law. When Abraham believed God and God pronounced him righteous, he never even heard of circumcision before. He didn't have anything to do with that. He was pronounced righteous just because he believed God. Didn't have anything to do with law. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what he's showing to the Jews. He wasn't under the law. He was counted righteous just because he believed God. There wasn't any of this outward stuff. But they put all this thing on the outward, you know. We can do the same thing. You know, we say, I'm righteous because I do this three times, you know, and you know, and I become righteous, you know, and I do this three times, or I do this three times, or I whatever we do, you know, and all this stuff. It's not about the outward at all. It has to do with the inward as we put our trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to make us righteous before God. So what can we brag about? So it's not in our outward religious traditions, and we all have got it. Every church has got some kind of this outward religious tradition that we think, if I just sing a little louder tonight, you know, then God will really like that, you know. It's got to do with your own heart, whether you sing loud or whether you sing soft, you know. It has to do with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works. Whether you can sing well or sing off key, it doesn't matter. Everybody who can't sing well, say praise God for that. Amen. Okay. So it tells us then, it's of the heart, that it's not the outward observances, it's of the heart. In Romans 2:29, it's already stated that. It says in the 29th verse of Romans, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so these Jews are having a hard time with that. Well, I got to do this and do this and do this and do this. It's not only Jews. There's church people who have the same thing. I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. No. That's the biggest lie that the devil's ever given to the church, that we are going to get there by being good and being good church members and being righteous and not doing anything wrong, and our works are going to justify us. No man is justified by good works. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone. So no one can brag, no one can boast except on Jesus and what he is and what he has done. So it tells us that Abraham was pronounced righteous. Abraham was declared righteous before the law ever came, in verse 10. So how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not, he wasn't circumcised. He was uncircumcised. And that it was received, look, follow me. It was received, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them. So here's what it says. When he believed God, he had faith in God. And it pleased God because he believed me. He said, I'm going to give you that son. And say, Abraham, I believe it. Now you got to remember, this is a man, you know, that's over 75 years of age. And he believes what God said. And God says, it pleases me so much that you believe me. I count it to you as righteousness. Well, you know, who are you going to argue with God? If that's what God says righteousness comes from, then believe God and thank God for it. Say, it's just too simple. Well, do you know what? Then if you want to make it difficult, do it your own way. But you're going to miss the righteousness of God, because righteousness of God comes through belief in Jesus, no other way. That's God satisfied with the death of his son who paid for a price. So what happens after we believe? You know, what's it says for a sign and for a seal here. So it was given as a sign and as a seal. So what do we do after we believe? What's the sign? What's the sign of our salvation? Water baptism. We're to believe and what? Be baptized. Because it's a sign to everyone. I'm one of them now. I've died. I've been separated off. I've died. I've been raised in newness of life. I'm standing before this congregation. Declare it before God, before people. I'm dead and I'm raised in newness of life. And this is a sign that I'm dead and I've been raised in newness of life. And I'm doing this to show everybody publicly I belong to Jesus. Let there be no mistake about it. They said to Peter, what do we do to be saved? They were convicted in their hearts on the day of Pentecost. And Peter stood up and he said, first you need to repent for your sins, then be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, if that's the sign, water baptism, listen to me, what are we doing? Water baptism doesn't save you. Circumcision didn't save anybody. It was a sign. But they did it in obedience to God. We do this in obedience to God. I'm going to be flat out. Here it comes. Watch out. I'm just preaching the Word of God. If you've not been baptized in water since you believe, you are a disobedient believer. How much simpler can it be? He could have had the sign be, give all your money away, like he said to the rich young ruler. He says, be baptized. So I'll get my hair wet. Like, I'm going to feel sorry for you. So, you know, you're going to swallow your pride and forget about your hair getting wet. Nobody else even cares or notices. You know, you get baptized and everybody goes, I got their hair wet. You know, come on, that's pride. That's what it's all about. Dying to our pride. Identifying with Jesus, with his death, with his suffering, that he died on the cross. We're going to be baptized in water. If you've not been baptized in water since you've saved, you need to do it in obedience to the Lord. There's always blessing in everything you do in obedience. And then what it says it'll be for a sign and for a seal. What's the seal that we receive? It's not circumcision in our flesh. What is it? It's the baptism of the Spirit. It's receiving the Spirit. For you who trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. It's the down payment. So you get the whole inheritance. So the sign is to be water baptized. The seal is the Holy Spirit comes in our life. Man, I've been sealed. Separated to God. Sealed. Nothing can get in. Nothing's getting out. I'm sealed. Separated to God by the Holy Spirit. He says, this is my mark. My seal's on him. He belongs to me. I've separated. I put him in a vial, in a container. I live in him now. He's been sealed by the Holy Spirit and separated into me. That's what holy means. Hagio, set apart. And so that's what's happened. And so it was the same thing. These Jews weren't saved because of circumcision. And that no one's saved because of or not saved because of uncircumcision. But it has to do with faith. So look, we'll read in verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his, not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because when he believed God and he said, you become the father of all those who have faith. He wasn't circumcised. He wasn't in the law. So he's going to become a father to all those who believe, not just to Jews only. It says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. If it's just Jews that are the heirs, then faith means nothing. Faith's made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not that only which is of the law, not just to those that are under the law, the Jews, but to all the seed of Abraham, to everyone that believes. But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The father of us all. So we're saved by grace. And the next thing he wants to see is that the promise of righteousness and blessing was made to his seed. It says that there are many nations, not just one nation, many nations. Now, I want you to hang on, man. I mean, this. I just hang on. This is just so awesome. Listen. He's become the father of us all. I'm not a Jew, but Abraham, I am of the line of Abraham. I have been grafted into Abraham. I'm not a Jew. People say, well, now that I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew. You're not a Jew. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, it says. We've all died. There's, now we got Jesus. You know, we don't go around and say, oh, the Chinese have the blessing, you know, the Italians have the blessing, the Irish have the blessing, you know, the Jews have the blessing, you know, the Spanish have the blessing, right, Pastor Joe? You know, it doesn't have anything to do with our nationality at all. We become one in Jesus Christ. He's colorblind. They're every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Nobody can claim to be more righteous than anybody else. It's to everybody. Is that right? And so Jews are saved the same way that Christians, you know, now, and Gentiles are saved. They become Christians by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 6 through verse 17, I'm going to read this. It says, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. There's that same term. It was counted to him. It was imputed to him. It was put on his account because he believed God. It was put on his account that he became righteous. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How many of you have faith? Then you're a child of Abraham. You know, because he's the father of faith, and we're grafted in. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen. How many of you were a heathen? Yes, raise your hand. I want to ask if you still are. You justify the heathen through faith. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations. So before there was ever any law on the scene, it was told then to Abraham, all nations are going to be blessed through you. You're going to be the father of faith to all nations. So the Jews are claiming just them. You know, but that's not what the scripture says. It didn't say it before there was ever any such thing as a Jew. Did you know Abraham was not a Jew? He wasn't. That's why God called him out from his family. He says, get out from your kindred. There wasn't anything as a Jewish nation then. He was a Gentile. So he called him out from his family. He says, I'm starting a new thing here. And through it was through Abraham, and it was through his seed, and then, you know, God later on separated out through Abraham and through Isaac and through Jacob, and then they were called Israel, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and then he had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes that became Israel. When Abraham was first called, there wasn't Jews, there wasn't an Israel. He was a Gentile, and then God separated them out. Hello, does that surprise you? And he was saved before that. And so what's the Jew going to brag about? Nothing. We're going to brag on Jesus. We got nothing to brag about except Jesus and what he did. And we're not going to brag on anything. And in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are be of faith, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Listen to me. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. So if we're trying to get justified by following the law, we're under curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you can't do everything that's written in the law, you're under curse. No one's ever been able to do the law. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. It's obvious. For the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith. It's rules, regulations. Faith's got nothing to do with it. The law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Well, you can't. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You know, he redeemed us now from having to follow this law that nobody can law and follow, and now he's presented us blameless to God, and the curse is lifted off of us. Instead of being cursed, I have the blessing of God on my life because Jesus was cursed instead of me. And so now I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. You are not cursed. God doesn't hate you. He loves you. You're a beloved son. You're a beloved daughter in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise through faith, the promise of the Spirit. Whew. How many know Abraham was rich? How many know he had God's blessing? He had God's favor every place he went, you know? that he was separated. Well, that same blessing has come on you because you had faith in God. It's the same Spirit, it's the same God, it's the same covenant, same promise. But we have a new covenant with better promises because of the blood of Jesus that was shed. It says in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He didn't say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, can't disannul the promise that he made to Abraham. The law didn't come till 400 years later. When the law came 400 years, that can't change the promise he made to Abraham. So whether we're Jews or Gentiles, I want us to understand. So people say all the time, you know, well then, you know, how did Jews get saved? Well, he died for all men. Jews get saved the same way anybody else gets saved, through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He even went to the Jews first and says, I'm coming to you first. Hello? Okay, I'm going to finish up. I'm almost done. Okay, look in verse 17. Amen. I don't know what that does to you. That, you know, that I've been grafted into the same flow because the seed that came through Abraham was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can trace my ancestry all the way back to Abraham, who was the father of faith. And now I've become a man of faith too. And so now I'm a kindred of Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham rests on me. And that I have no longer a curse on my life because Jesus was cursed instead of me. Now I stand in God's favor. I stand with God's blessing in my life. And the same Spirit that was on Abraham and the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, it's the same Spirit that's in me that's given me life, and that His blessing is on me. Woo! Man! That's not just wishful thinking. That is a fact. And now, look what Abraham's faith resulted in. Man, verse 17. These are some awesome verses. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Not just one nation, many nations. Before him whom he believeth, before God, Abraham believed him. Even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So it's God who quickens the dead. It's God who sees things that are not as though they be. And it says, who against hope, Abraham, who against hope, he believed in hope. When there was nothing to hope for, nothing to hope in, he didn't have the baby with his wife until he was 99 years old, and at 100 then is when she delivered. You know, he was 100, she was 90 years old, he was 100 years old. Think of a wife 90 years old. Can you see the headlines? And so it says, who against hope believed in hope? Abraham believed God. When there was nothing to hope in, nothing to see that would give him any hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. He believed it. So shall thy seed be. He believed God. Through my wife's going to come a child. That's going to be the seed that's going to continue, that it's going to bring blessing to nations, to this world. It's going to multiply the seed. And he believed God. I remember, he's 100. But he believes God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Dead in that they couldn't have children. His wife dead that she couldn't have children. But he didn't consider his body. He didn't look at his body and say, oh, there's no way this is going to happen, man. Man, we stopped having children a long time ago. This is an impossibility. He didn't believe that. He says, I'm not even considering my body. I'm not looking at my body. I'm not looking at its weakness. I'm not looking at any of these. I'm looking at God and His promise. I'm not going to consider my body. I'm considering what God said, and I'm standing on it, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And it says, and he was about 100 years of age, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, I'm not going to consider the deadness of womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he also was able to perform. So I want you to see what this is a picture of. This is a picture of resurrection. Any healing is resurrection power. Did you know that? You know, when we pray for people and people, there's healing that comes to them. Don't you know that's just a little touch of resurrection power? You know, when we pray, there's that an anointing, and there's a downward pull of death all the time in our bodies that brings sickness, that brings weaknesses. There's a downward pull of death. You know that, don't you? We're not in the promise of, or in the process of living. We're in the process of dying. We're getting older, you know. I have less hair every year. I got, you know, more wrinkles. I got, you know, with all of us, we're getting older. You can, you know, get surgery and everything else, but it doesn't matter. You're still getting older, and you know it inside. Now you feel better, don't you? We're not in the process. We're in the process of dying. So when God brings that resurrection power, He just gives us the juice. It's like if you could see a big throw switch, you know, just, and there's just a little bit of that juice, and we go, we're quickened, and that virtue comes in, and healing comes into our body. That's resurrection power. That's what happened around the altar tonight. It's the power of God. It's that resurrection power. That's what happened to Abraham. Though he was dead, life came. And what happened? There was a son that was birthed through that resurrection power. Do you see how this lines up with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who promised his son that it was an impossibility, there's no way, and that he was crucified and died, but through resurrection power, that son was birthed out of death and came to life. So this is a picture of Abraham. That Abraham's son was birthed out of death. It's a picture of the resurrection of Christ. Because he believed God, resurrection power operated through his life and healing came to them. See, one of these days, every once in a while now, we'll see miracles, things happen. We'll see, you know, resurrection power take place, miracles take place. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, because if it did, nobody would ever die. Everybody, Apostle Paul would be alive today. Peter would be alive today. When Stephen was stoned, they'd have just prayed and he'd have raised up and he'd be alive today. So, you know, it's appointed every man to die once. So God intervenes in grace and there's resurrection that happens from time to time. But one of these days, that trump's going to sound. God's going to throw that switch. Man, the resurrection power is coming in full. I mean, there's just not going to be some healing. We're going to be changed in a moment. Our whole flesh is going to be completely changed, a glorified flesh. All death, all disease, all sickness is going to be gone. We're going to be changed in a moment, become like Him. And that's the Spirit that's in us. And that Spirit came when we believed in faith in Jesus. And His righteousness entered into us in His very life. And so here He is. There is an impossibility. And yet, praise God. See, the life, he was strong. He was strong in faith. And the key is belief. In verse 24, if we look in the book of Romans, man, don't lose me here. It says in verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That same power that worked toward Abraham, when he believed, that same power will be upon us. That we can know God's resurrection power in our lives. That we can know his victories. That we can know his righteousness. It's imputed to us. And it says, who was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. The key is, we believe. Verse 24, if we believe. Do you know that there are over 60 references to faith or to unbelief in the book of Romans? It's all about faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it tells us that God's saving power is experienced by those who believe in Jesus. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It has to do with faith, with belief. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. See, his righteousness is received by faith. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all them that believe, there's no difference at all. It's all by faith that we've been made righteous. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says we're justified by faith. It has to do with faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. It doesn't say anything about good works. Here it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, our whole life is a life of faith when you're a believer. It's not about being good and going to church and following rules and you know, marking down the good things we do every week. Do this, do this, do this. Follow the list. It's a whole life of faith, trusting in God. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's not a one-time thing in order. We live every day by faith. We trust Jesus. It's counted to righteousness every day as we believe God and trust God. That we continue to live in faith. Abraham's faith was awesome. I want you to think about it. He was surrounded by heathen and unbelievers everywhere. There was no Bible. There was nothing to read. He didn't have anything about a history of people that had faith. He just believed God's promise. And when he believed, it was counted him to righteous. And I want you to see how awesome this man was. And I want to see the circumstances that were against him when he did believe. That he was an old man. And yet he believed God. There was no one around, you know, patting him on the back, say, you can make it. You know, look what God's done to others. He'll do for you. None of that. He was the first father of faith. He believed God. And today, we have the Bible. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. You know, we have centuries of faith recorded in biblical and church history. With thousands of testimonies of who believed, you know, who had faith, and it was counted to them for righteousness, and who overcame by their faith. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the same way. How did you get saved? Same way people in the New Testament. They're justified by faith. So it doesn't happen, you know, because of the deeds of the law. It says, but the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It doesn't come because of the sacrifices that were shed. It says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. We're saved by faith. Look in Hebrews. Look at the Old Testament saints. 21 times it says, by faith, 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 by faith. There's no one that says, by the law, by the law, by the law, by the law, by being good, by being good. It doesn't say anything. It says, by faith, by faith, by faith. You look at God's history of those who are righteous before God and please God. All the Old Testament saints, they're justified the same way we're justified, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or by God's word. Not Jesus, but in God's word. He gave them a promise. They believed it, and it was counted unto them for righteousness. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Father, I pray tonight we can see your word is clear. That, Lord, we're justified. Made it just as if we've never sinned at all. Pronounced righteous before you. Never by our works. By our trust in you, you paid it all. And what a price, Lord, that you paid that we could know that freedom. And tonight, Lord, not only are we forgiven of our sins, and if we become a new creation and become your sons and daughters, but we've entered into a covenant, been given eternal life, and Lord, there isn't anything you've held back through your son. And you've given us everything there is that pertains to life here and godliness, and there isn't any, Lord, request that's beyond, Lord God, your ability to perform or your promise that you do it. You promised, Lord, that you made all of our needs. You promised that you'd strengthen us above every temptation. You promised, Lord, what you'd begun, you'd finish. You'd present us blameless. Tonight, Lord, we have absolute confidence in you. And I pray tonight, Lord, we would see